Welcome to Shaped by Faith with your host, Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. I have a special guest today on Shaped by Faith. Her name is Kathy Harris. She's an author by way of a divine detour into the Nashville entertainment business. We're going to hear all about that. After graduating with a communications degree from Southern Illinois University, she moved to Tennessee to work in the Christian music industry. And that position soon transitioned into what would become a long-tenured country music marketing career with the Oak Ridge Boys. For several years, Kathy freelanced entertainer biographies and wrote, as well as ghost wrote, news stories and columns for various music publications. In 2007, she sold her first Christian nonfiction story, Walk on Water, which was included in Thomas Nelson's All My Bad Habits I Learned from My Grandpa. In that same year, one of her devotions was published in the One Year Life Verse Devotional from Tyndale House. She also contributed Blooms of Wisdom to the Chicken Soup for the Soul 2010 release. Thanks, Mom. He who laughs last is the wiener to the Chicken Soup for the 2019 release, Lessons from the Dog. And so, Kathy, thank you so much for being a guest on Shaped by Faith. You've got so much more to share, so we're going to hear all about that.
Hi, Teresa. I'm so glad to be here. You know, I am not far from you and where I was born, so I'm a Southern Illinois Midwest girl, and it's really nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you, too. I love when God connects people. I do. And you know, he connects people for his purposes. And so I really believe there's a divine purpose for us connecting and for this interview. So God's going to work all those details out. We don't have to worry about that. Let's get to know you a little bit more, Kathy. So what were your ambitions and dreams as a child?
My ambition as a child was to be a writer.
Really?
I had a great childhood. I was an only child, grew up on a farm and in the country. And I loved horses and all of the farmyard animals and stuff like that. And I loved, you know, like my neighborhood kids. But early in my diary as a young girl, I made entries about how I wanted to grow up and write books. And I just carried that dream. I didn't write back then any more than homework. But when I went to college, I studied journalism because there was no creative writing course at Southern Illinois University at the time. And I took English as a minor, and I did everything I could to learn about writing. And so I just pursued it that way.
That's incredible. You know, when we look back on our childhood, so many times we can see where God was at work. And especially with you as a writer, I truly believe, Kathy, that God answers the desires that we have in our hearts. And sometimes he tweaks those desires. You know, they have to line up with his will. But wow, God has done that in you. And we praise God for that. I love your book. I read your book. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk about your Christian walk. Like, were you always a Christian as far back as you can remember? Or when did you commit your life to Christ?
I am from a very Christian family. My grandparents, my memories of them are praying at the table and reading their Bible in their chair. My grandmother played the organ and the piano for the church service. My grandpa was a deacon. I just have so many, that's just embedded in my memory as to who my family is and who I am. I was in elementary school, and I remember that my great uncle, who was a minister, was traveling as a minister, and he came to a revival. And I was a young girl, and I remember thinking, I want to know this Jesus that he's talking about, but I didn't do anything about it. It wasn't the moment that I walked forward. Mm-hmm. And that happened throughout my elementary school. And then in high school, I went forward, gave my life to Christ. And grew, because for me, it's a growing process. You know, some people just have an immediate change in their lives. For me, it was a growing process. And I just looked for him to guide me. And he has. And he's guided me through some things that I never thought I could do. I never thought I could go through. And so it was, I really feel like my beginning was back in that revival, but it's just been an ongoing relationship, which it should be.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that, you know, you had a great uncle that was a minister and it caught your attention and you were paying attention. It sounds like your whole childhood. And then you took it very serious in your high school years, in which, you know, some people wait longer than that. I waited until I was 26 years old to really make that commitment because I really didn't understand it until then. So, you know, God has different plans for each one of us. And that was his plan for your life. And God sustained you, you know, definitely. And he matures each of us as we allow him in. Tell us about your short-term position as an instructor after your college graduation. What were you doing?
I could not find a job after I graduated college in communications in 3 years, and I couldn't find a job.
Really?
Yeah, which is, you know, they tell you you're going to find a job, especially back when I graduated. And so I moved back in with my parents, and I ended up working as a college level, junior college level instructor at a minimum security penitentiary. I taught poetry for a quarter and I taught literature, English literature for a quarter. And it was I can't imagine not having had that happen to me, because it was just a great experience. The gentlemen that were there were a lot of them not much older than me. And they had committed a lot of different things in their lives, and they were, you know, they were paying those consequences. But I'm a really positive person, and I really believe in the power of God, you know, in our lives to change and make good out of what was bad. And so I felt like, if nothing else, my job was to teach them poetry and literature, but also to let them know that there was second chances in the world. And I feel like if there was one particular class that I felt like there was just, I got that across to them. And it made me so happy, because I felt like that was more important than poetry, you know? And so it was an amazing experience. I'm glad I had it.
Wow. That is really neat. And they took you serious, right? Even though you were young.
They did. Maybe because my dad was actually an officer there.
Maybe.
You know, but
that could have helped.
He was very serious. but no, they did. I mean, we had a lot. I mean, if you're going to learn something about somebody, teach literature or poetry and have them pick it apart, and you're going to find out the innermost about somebody, because that's how we interpret those things. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, very real. It really was.
That's fascinating. That is. So how did you establish, okay, you went from there teaching poetry and literature, and you established a career in the music industry. So how did that happen?
Well, right after I became a Christian, I started singing in a girls' trio, and then it turned into a quartet with my cousin came in to sing bass with us. And so we started traveling regularly, singing Southern gospel music. And I this is where God, once again, just picked right on up and said, okay, you've made your profession of faith. Now I want you to give everybody your testimony. So I became the spokesman for the group. And I had a lot of, you know, I had a lot of experience with that. As you can hear, my dog is actually a spokesman here at my house.
What's your dog's name?
It's Gabriel.
Gabriel. Oh, I love that. Hey, Gabriel.
As you know, Gabriel was a messenger, and this dog is always telling
me. I love it.
But we made a lot of friends in Southern gospel music, and throughout college, we, you know, would all come home on the weekend and we would travel and sing. And I really learned that music was my second love. And I ended up, we recorded an album for one of the Oak Ridge Boys, Dwayne Allen's recording at his recording studio. And I made the contact that brought me the job, and I moved to Nashville.
That is so neat. Okay, we need to hear more, but we've got to take a real quick break. We'll be back with more Shaped by Faith. Everyone, stay tuned. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. Kathy Harris is an author by way of a divine detour into the Nashville entertainment business. She is an author, and Kathy has won a lot of awards. We haven't talked about that yet, Kathy, but let's talk about you're in the music industry and you're working with the Oak Ridge Boys. So you were talking about that. Why don't you continue?
I moved to Nashville when I was 20. And I started working with them, and they gave me a job on a trial basis because they thought, oh my goodness, we're moving her 3 hours south, and what if she doesn't work out? So we're going to make sure she knows that we can send her back.
Oh, okay.
And so they put me on a trial basis, and it's been 50 years. They never sent me home. So
it
was the kind of thing where I just felt like I had found my people. Mm. And I think a lot of your audience will identify with that, where maybe their grade school or their high school or their college didn't really feel like their people, or maybe it did. But I moved down to Nashville and into the music business, which was a very welcoming community. Nashville's very Southern and very welcoming. And I just felt as if I was where I was supposed to be. And so I started working as a secretary, even though I had a college degree. I just wanted to get my foot in the door. And through the years, actually pretty quickly, because their career took off pretty quickly, I worked my way up to operations management team and marketing director. And I've done that for decades now. The funny thing about it is I wanted to work in Christian music. And 3 months after I joined the office staff or the group, they went country.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I don't know that I like country music, but I love it now. And it was just a shock to me because I, you know, really thought I was going to make a career in Christian music. As it turns out, if anyone knows the Oak Ridge Boys, they know that their witness for God has been as good as their witness for Elvira.
Yes.
So it has really been both worlds.
That is amazing. Wow. Wow, God. That's what I'm going to say. Wow, God. Because he had to place you there, you know, but you had to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. Okay, you went from their marketing director, operations management team to, okay, now you're navigating your way back and you're focusing on writing books. So, you know, tell us about that.
When I first came to town, I took freelance positions just to because I liked writing and I wanted to keep writing. And that's, you know, the bios and the news pieces and things that I wrote. When the guy's career started to take off, I was so busy and I had married and was helping with my stepdaughter. And so life was busy. And I, as much as I love family and I do, actually, I wanted like a house full of kids and I was unable to have children, but I love my career as well. Mm-hmm. So I just got drawn into that. And I just almost forgot about my writing dream, but not quite. And that's why I called Divine Detour my theme. I felt like God took me to that for a number of years before he brought me back into what was my original desire. And I would try to write books. I wouldn't be able to get past three chapters. When I turned 50, which I want to say this to encourage people that have waited a while to start what they feel like is their life's dream. When I turned 50, I've dedicated my writing to God. And I said, you know, I've had a wonderful life. I'm 50. I don't know that I get 50 more. I want to dedicate my writing to you. And I sat down and I literally, a manuscript just flowed from the from my fingers.
Wow.
And so I, you know, I felt confirmed with that. And besides the fact that I knew that's what I wanted to do, I wanted to write God's stories. And so that became an eye opener, because I didn't realize that even though you write a story, you have to write a story to craft. And so I started learning about writing, and I attended Christian writing conferences. I made friends in Nashville, though, who were writers and were, you know, they'd act, which taught me what to do. And we networked with each other. And that's how I eventually met my first agent, and then my first editor, who actually has been my editor for all of my four books. And it's just, it just was one step after another. And it's been a 24 year journey, really, I guess. So now it's not been quite that long, but it's been a 20 something year journey that since I wrote that first manuscript.
That's very encouraging, Kathy. It really is. You know, whatever age you're at, it's never too late. And to me, 50 is not that old. I'm 60 right now. It's not that old. But, you know, so many people put things on the back burner, and they either, you know, they have this career going, they're raising their kids or doing other things. But God knows the desires of our hearts. And I love that He drew you back into your desire of writing and a 24-year journey. And that is incredible. And we praise God for that. You had to realize at some point, and I didn't know if this was during your childhood or maybe when you started writing at 50, when you had to realize that God actually has given you this gift of writing for His purposes. Was there a moment when you realized that?
You know, it's funny. When I was in college, my journalism professor 101 told me that I wasn't good at writing. He said, but you try really hard.
Oh.
And that was such a stimulus for me, because I think a lot of people will agree with me that if somebody tells you you're not good at something, you're going to prove them wrong.
Uh-huh.
So for me, that was actually the best thing he could have said. But it's that desire that is stronger than maybe anything else. I just want to do it. And writing is hard, you know, and that may sound like that doesn't make sense, but you have to sit in a chair for a really long time. And it's just, it's not easy, but it's something that's so fulfilling. And so, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, you know what, Kathy, I think if that college professor had told some other people that, I don't think everyone would have taken that very well, and they might have given up. I know that, you know, instructors and professors and teachers really have an impact on people. You know, raising seven kids, I saw it with coaches and different teachers, and how sometimes their spirit was broken through negativity. And it looks like that God was like, nope, you know, Kathy is going to be a writer, and you just hang in there, and she's going to get really good at it. It seems like you listened. You listened to God's voice. You had that intuition. You had that knowing, and you
and
didn't.
A desire.
Yeah,
and a desire.
You have to have that desire, and it is really, really hard. I sit on a stability ball, Kathy. It helps me when I write and plan out different things. I'm always sitting on this ball because it keeps me alert. It takes the pressure off my hips and glutes. That's just a little tip there, little side note, that is so beneficial for our health as well. And it helps develop strong core muscles. I didn't know we were going to go in that direction, but I just thought I would throw that out there.
I have thought about one of those, and I think that that's really an excellent point. And I think it's a great point, because writing can be hard on your body.
Absolutely.
I mean, no other way to put it.
And on the ball, you can just kind of roll around, you know, side to side and loosen things up. And then, yeah, it's great.
I'm actually an Apple Watch girl, and yes. I love the fact that it tells me to get up and stand every hour. And, you know, all those little tips are so important, I think.
Yes.
You know, it challenges me to walk so much a day, to exercise so much a day, and that's my little coach on my wrist, and whatever works, this works for me.
Yes.
So you have to do that.
You know, when it says get up and walk, you can bounce on the ball instead. because I'm telling you, it will increase your heart rate. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, you'll have to tell me what kind to buy.
I will. And it goes by your height. Whatever your height is the size you buy. So yeah, we'll connect and you can go to my YouTube channel. I've got some ball videos on there at Shaped by Faith. But anyway, this is not about me. Let's get back to you. We need to get into your books. And so let's take a real brief break. We'll be right back with more Shaped by Faith. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith. Kathy is an author and she has been so inspiring. And just to listen to her talk about when she started writing again at the age of 50, and she's been on this journey for 24 years. Kathy, what inspired you to write your first book, The Road to Mercy?
Actually, the first manuscript that rolled out of my head was has not been published, and most writers will tell you that those are the little ones that you tuck under the bed and that collect dust bunnies. The second book I wrote was called The Road to Mercy.
Okay.
And it was when I wanted to write women's fiction in particular, because I love to talk about the angst of life and how God gets us through it. And that story was inspired by something that happened to me in my childhood. I was a young girl and my dad came home from working over a late night shift. And he said, there's been a plane crash behind the house. And so my mom and I and my dad got in the car, and I'm a young girl, and we drove around the fields and around the block, and we went and we saw the site of this plane crash. Mm. And had removed all of the bodies, and we were just walking around. It was early in the morning, and it was just so eerie to me. Mm-hmm. And to make it short, my dad actually discovered the body of a child, and he it really affected him, and he came through and told me about it, and it affected me for a long, 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 long time, because I felt as a young child that was hard for me to understand. And so I went on for years, and I wanted that child to have lived. I just wanted that child to have lived. And so my first book, I imagined that child having survived the plane crash. And the story that I wrote ended up coming out like almost on the anniversary of that crash, and accidentally. And it was so cathartic for me. And it made me also feel like even in that short life, that life actually, I hope, encouraged people because of the book. I wanted it to anyway. That was my goal. My goal is always to encourage people and to show how God turns some things that are not great into things that are blessings. And so that was the first book. Mm. After that, my editor and my agent came to me and said, we think you should be writing romantic suspense.
Okay.
I've seen elements of that in this book. And all of my books are set in Nashville. They all have a music business element of some sort, which once again, I believe is why God said, let's put off your writing for a while and let put you in the music business in Nashville so you can write about that. So my series is called the Deadly Secrets series.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the first book is Deadly Commitment. The second book is Deadly Connection. And the final book is Deadly Conclusion. And it's about a series of Tennessee Bureau investigation special agents and cases they're all standalones. But if you read them in order, you actually will get a little bit more out of the series. So a little bit of romance, a lot of suspense, you know, some crime, some real life, but a whole lot of faith. I really want faith and working your way through things with God to be in there.
Well, it definitely is. I read your book that you sent me, Deadly Commitment, and I love the way you at first just subtly weaved in that element of faith in and out of your chapters. And, you know, towards the end, when things are worked out with Danny, I mean, she is praying, whereas before she didn't. And I just love that. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for weaving your faith into your writings. I mean, because obviously your faith has influenced you as a writer, just as much as the music element and living in Nashville. God had to have brought all that together for you to write like you do.
I agree. And I'll tell you a real funny story. When I first, my editor who ended up acquiring all four of my books, but at two different publishers because she moved from one to the other. She told me when I first knew her, she said, "I really love the idea that you write Nashville books with the music business element." She said, "But nobody will ever buy those."
Oh my goodness.
And I thought, well, that's what I want to write. So, like, fast forward 2 years, and all of a sudden, Nashville is, as you know, one of the hottest cities on the face of the earth. Everybody wants to visit it. And I think that God said, just wait. You just wait. Mm-hmm. We'll see how popular Nashville becomes. And I have to tell you, I sometimes think I work for the Chamber of Commerce because I love that city so much. And maybe that shows a little bit too. But, you know, so everything has its time, and God's timing is perfect.
That's right. And when you have this knowing like you do, and you did inside of you, you stick with what that gut feeling is telling you as you pray, you know, yes. And God okay. brings it about exactly perfectly, as you said, in his timing. How important are book reviews to you?
I read them. A lot of our authors don't read them.
I know.
And some of them are hard, you know, but I will say, as long as somebody writes a productive book review, whether it's a 1-star or a 5-star, then I get something from it, because I want to know whether I my character was believable or not. You know, I want to know those things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I love the good ones better than the bad ones, but the bad ones can be helpful as long as they're done in a spirit of love.
Absolutely. So, all right. Yeah. So your website is KathyHarrisBooks.com, and we can purchase your books wherever books are sold. Is that right?
That's correct.
Kathy, you have been so enjoyable. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. I'm Teresa Rowe. Everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.